Amen? Time to lay it down. Amen? Don't pick it back up. I want to ask you a question. Do you know anyone that seems to have a hard time letting go of the past? Anybody? You know somebody? Maybe someone that keeps reliving their glory days in high school? It's kind of like Uncle Rico in the movie Napoleon Dynamite. Take a look at this.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What the heck are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
I let it go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah, coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. I believe things have been different. I'd have gone pro. A heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up. I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
Easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Right on.
What is it about the past that keeps our attention? What is it? Even as time continues marching forward into the future, sometimes we still think about the past, do we not? Still relive those glory days, right? Those wonderful glory days. We think about the past and what happened in the past and how wonderful it was in the past, and we start reliving memories. And how many of you have ever said, I wish things would just go back the way it used to be? Anybody? Anybody ever said, or maybe you look at the past and it seems more attractive to you, and even if you have painful memories of the past, at least you know what happened, right? And maybe you think that you could change it knowing what you know now. However, the problem with this mindset is you can't very well move forward while also living in the past, amen? You can't be everything that God wants you to be and who He wants you to become by living and dwelling in the past. So today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave the past baggage behind you, no matter if it was good, bad, or indifferent. We're going to leave it behind. And today, I want you to move confidently into the present reality of God's provision for us. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to read a few verses beginning at verse 14. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at verse 14. This is what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do you hear me? Do you hear what God's telling you? Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And then look what he says in verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He is doing a new thing. He's got something far greater in your future than you ever could imagine. leave the baggage of the past behind and move into the future of what God has for you. Amen? We're going to lay down some baggage today. Amen? We're going to leave that baggage behind today. And in our text, Isaiah, he is foretelling the Israelites what is about to happen. You see, this is he is speaking this before they went into exile. So he is telling them, this is what's going to happen. I didn't read the part where he's telling them all the destruction and all the chaos that they're leaving their land and all that stuff. And so here he is, he's telling them, but just like I did in the past, you remember the story of the Israelites moving into the promised land, leaving Egypt behind, moving into the promised. He's saying, just like I did back then, I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do something even far greater. You see what I'm saying? He's promising them that. He says, if you think that was something, if you think what I did for the Israelites back then, if you think that was something, you just wait. Because I'm about to do something far greater than you ever imagined or thought that I could do. He says, I've got something great that's going to take place, something that great that's going to happen in the future. And just as the Babylonians, he says, will come and take them into captivity, they're also going to be defeated. Amen. Just like he defeated the Egyptians, just like he destroyed the Egyptians, he's going to destroy the Babylonians. He's like, you're going to see some greatness. You're going to see some great stuff happening. Let's see. God is letting them know, hey, I got this. And yes, you'll go through something terrible, but in the end, you're going to have something far greater. And then look at what he tells them next in verse 18. This is something that I pointed out. Forget what? The former things. And then what does he say? Do not dwell on the past. You ever gaze into sunlight and start daydreaming of all the past that has gone by? How glorious and wonderful it all. Like Kip, Uncle Rico. I love that part where he's just sitting there going, yeah. You could tell that he is just remembering what the past was like. And man, I could have shown you several videos of him always thinking about the past. He made a video, football tryout video. It's terrible, I promise you. But he was just always thinking about the past, always thinking about all the wonderful things of the past. And just as God told the Israelites to let the past go, I'm telling you today, God is telling you to let the past go. And then in verse 19, he tells them what he will do for them. See, I am doing a new thing. How many would tell me today, I need God to do a new thing in my life right now? I need God to do something new. I don't want something stale, right? I don't want something old. I want God's new revelations for me. I want God's new visions for me. I want God's new hope and his new, everything new that he has for me. That's what I want. In order for me to do that, I can't stay back here in the past. I can't live back here in the past. I have to move forward into the future of what God has for me. I love how the message says it. It says this, forget about what's happening. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. And then he says, it's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. God is telling you today that your future is brighter than your past. And I truly believe that. So here's something I want you to put in your spirit today. I want you to write this statement down. I want you to put it where you can see it every single day. I want you to make it a part of your life. I want it to be there. The best is yet to come. I know people say this a lot, but there's truth to this statement. Amen? Write it down. Put it somewhere you write it right there in your Bible, wherever you are. There's pens in the back of the seats, whatever. Write that down. The best is yet to come. When you're struggling, when you don't seem like there's a great future maybe ahead, I want you to look at this and I want you to see what it says. The best is yet to come. When you think that you don't have any hope or you don't have any way out, I want you to see what this says. What does it say? The best is yet to come, right? Understand that the past, we're going to leave it behind today. Make your plan every day. God has something brighter in store for you, I promise you. And I promise you that the best is yet to come. So how many of you have ever anticipated something exciting that you knew was coming? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Maybe it was a trip or the birth of your child. Maybe you can remember the anticipation of your wedding or a special event. And do you remember how excited you were about that event? I mean, you couldn't wait, you know, you couldn't wait till it got here. Maybe you remember the anticipation, anxiety that you got, and the excitement that you felt, you know. I'll never forget the anticipation of my children being born. It was a special moment. It was a special time. And especially Maylee. Now, you know, your first is always different, right? Because it's a first experience for everything. And she was our first. We were excited. I mean, weeks and days before she was born, we moved into a new apartment. We put furniture together. We figured out how to install a car seat. Is that not the most hardest thing in the world to do? Something that should be so simple, but yet it's just so difficult, you know? Lord, help us install this car seat, you know? That was back then. Nowadays, you just clip the little clippies in and pull it tight. I'm like, where was this when I was around, you know? When I started, you know, because that's the way it was for Brindley. We just clipped the clips in and went on. That's what happens when your kids are 7 years apart, you know? There's a lot of inventions take place. A lot of things take place over time, you know? But the first one, man, we had to figure everything out. Somebody had given us a baby bed. And let me tell you something. This baby bed wasn't just your basic run-of-the-mill baby bed. This was the Cadillac of baby beds. It had the drawer in the bottom. It had all the fancy features. And it was in pieces. Not just one piece. Not just three pieces. Not 10 pieces. It was probably a bajillion pieces. And that thing took us all night, probably two nights, to put together. And the crazy thing is, it was one that you better put together inside the room or you're not getting it in there. You know what I'm talking about? And so all these things, all these plans for the new arrival that would change our life forever, but there was this excitement, there was this anticipation. And here is a fact. As believers, we have an eternity in paradise with God and Jesus and all the saints ever before us. And this is why it says we fix our eyes on Jesus. And John, we are told in chapter 14, verse 2, he says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" The same excitement that you feel about your upcoming trip or your party or wedding or new birth or whatever you are anticipating should pale in comparison to the excitement that you feel over an eternity in heaven's paradise. Amen? Paul confirms to us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says this, "It is for freedom, amen, that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery," amen. This is something that we can rejoice in, that we can be excited, that even if we look ahead and don't think our future is bright and don't think that there's anything that hope can come of it, that there's anything that's good that can come of it, I want you to know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. He has something exciting and great and grand waiting for you. And someday when we leave this world behind, he's got something far greater waiting for us. Amen. And that's one thing that we can put our hope in. That's one thing we can put our trust in. Even though we may not see a bright future right now, we can put our hope in Jesus. Stop looking at the past. The best is yet to come, amen? You know, many of us, we get trapped. We get bogged down by the baggage of this life. We continue looking behind us to things in the past. And we have to do like I said last week. You remember if you was here last week, I said, let it go. We have to let the baggage go, and the best is yet to come. Leave the past behind us. Look forward to the future. Now, you may be looking at the future right now, and you're telling me, man, I just don't see it. I don't see anything good in my future. And can I tell you that the Israelites at that moment, as they're hearing all the darkness, all the dread, everything that was about to be going, they're about to be stripped out of their homeland. They're about to be stripped away from everything that they know and everything that they do, that they see. And they're probably thinking, man, there's no hope for our future. Because in our future, you're taking everything away from us. We're losing it all. We're losing all the family and the friends, the people that we know, the people that we should hang out with, the people that we should be enjoying our future with. We're losing all that. It's all going away. And then you're trying to tell me that there's hope. And that's why God reassured them, the best is yet to come. You just wait. I'm doing something new. I'm going to do something that's going to be so amazing. That's going to be so unbelievable. You won't even believe it. And he reminds them, just remember that I've done it once. I did it before. We sang that song. He'll do it again. He made a way when there was no way. And I believe he will do it again. Amen. The other song we sang, I can't go back to the beginning. I can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know right here in this moment is a place where you promised to be. And I want all that you can give me, Lord. I want all that you can lay on me. And maybe you've already seen God do some exciting and new things in your life or in someone else's life. And God's telling you today that those things won't even compare heir to what he's going to do. Anybody here say, I'm blessed? I can. God, I'm blessed. And I could sit here right now and I could just soak it all in and say, man, this is great. This is wonderful. God loves me. He cares for me. He's doing some amazing things, you know. I've got a great church. I got a great family. I could just go on and on. A great job. I got people and friends that love me and care for me. You know, I could go on and just enjoy where I'm at right now. But guess what God's telling me? Because it's pretty good right now. But he's telling me this, the best is still to come. And we can get satisfied back here, can't we? Because it's good. I've already told you about the dark past. We look at the dark side, and that's easy just to throw out and to leave behind and say, you know what? I'm ready to move away from that, move past that. And that's easy to say. But whenever it's going good, man, you just want to sometimes just hang out here and enjoy this moment, don't we? Because it's going good. I mean, you think about all the memories, and you think, why would I want to change any of this? Why would I want to make anything different? Can I just tell you? Because God's telling you the best is yet to come. And you're saying, well, God, can it get any better than this? This is good, Lord. This is really good. And God's like, oh, I got so much far better and greater for you in store. The best is yet to come. It's still coming. It's just around the corner. I believe that he's telling Cliff Terrace, this church, the things in the past were great. There was some great stuff that happened. We enjoyed those memories. We saw people saved. We saw people healed. We saw people delivered. And some of you have told me the stories of where you were in this church when God ministered to you. Easter, we talked about your Jesus story. You know where your Jesus story moment was. You could pinpoint probably in these altars where Jesus touched you and he ministered to you. He did a work in your life, whatever it was. But I'm here to tell you, and I believe that he's telling us today, that those things won't even compare to what he is about to do. Amen? And you need to let go of the past. Prepare to receive the greater things, because the best is yet to come. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm telling you? The best is yet to come. Have you ever had a blindfold placed over your eyes? It's not necessarily fun, is it? Because you don't know where anything is. It's completely black. I mean, you're just like, you're like, I don't know where I'm going. If they do it right, it's complete darkness. Have you ever been in those cave trips, those, where you hike inside of a cave and you go down, and then they get to a point that says, okay, everybody stand still. We're going to turn the lights out. Then they turn the lights out, and you're like, man, I can't even see my hand in my, move. I don't even know my hand's in front of my face, even though it's there. It's so dark. And then they turn the lights back on, and you realize just how dark it is down in that complete darkness. And you have to rely on those around you, right? You have to rely on someone to guide you. You ever played the game where you hit the pinata? You know, and they tell me, now how in the world was this ever a good idea? To put a stick in somebody's hand, blindfold them, spin them around three times, and tell them, okay, now whack the thing. What a good idea, was it? Because you just see those kids, man, they're just swinging everywhere. They're going to try to hit something, you know. And so they're just swinging away, and they're, you know, and so they're in complete darkness. They need someone to guide them and direct them. And some of you are saying to God, just give me a blueprint of what is coming, right? Because if we had the blueprint, it's got to be a lot easier, don't it? Because then at least you can see what to build. You can at least see what direction to go in. You can at least see what road to take or path to take. And we want just something. But he's telling you, if I give you a blueprint, you're just going to mess it up. Because I've got something far greater for you. Just trust me, is what God's telling us. I will lead you. I will guide you. Even when you can't see where you are going, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's what God's telling us. And he says, I'm going to make sure that I get you where I want you to go. Did you get that? God's telling you, I'm going to make sure that I will get you where I want you to go. How many of you ever tried to get ahead of God? You know what I'm saying? You got a path. You know where you want to go. Oh, I want to go here. This is a great spot. I want to get to that spot. And God's saying, but I want you to go this spot. You're saying, yeah, but God, look at this one. This is a much prettier spot, you know. I really like this spot. He says, well, we'll eventually get there, but I need you to go here first. And we're like, but I don't like that path because that path doesn't go the way that I want to go. And God's telling you, but listen, this is the path that I want you to go on. Sure, it may be a little harder. It may not be the prettiest. It may not be the most direct. It may not be the greatest path. But I promise you, this is the path you will go on because the things that you will learn, that by the time you get there, you will appreciate what is waiting for you there better than if I just send you straight there. Because God has a plan and a purpose, and we don't have to understand it. We may not even get it. It may not make sense to us. But God is telling you, just trust me. Trust me. Don't trust everybody else. Don't trust your instincts. Don't trust your gut feeling or whatever you're feeling or whatever you're going through. Trust me, and there will come some distractions along the way, I promise you. Me and Kelly, we're going to write a book about distractions because it seems like we've been getting a lot of distractions lately. And distractions will come. They're going to come. They're going to come. Some roadblocks will come along the way. You know what I'm talking about? There'll be some U-turns. You ever been on a journey? You ever come upon a place and it says a U-turn? You ever come to the middle of the road where just traffic has stopped and it's backed up for miles and you're thinking, man, we're never going to get through here. Me and Kelly made a trip one time. This back years ago. We were on our way back. We were living in Florida at the time. On our way back to Florida, it was around Christmas. We had come home for Christmas. We're headed back. It was actually Christmas Eve. And we were coming back, trying to get back home. And it was, I mean, we're talking, it was probably, you know, midnight, something like that, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, we get to a point and traffic is just stopped. I mean, late at night, we're talking, it's dark. And we're on a back road in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Alabama. I mean, banjos are playing. You know, I mean, we're talking, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And we're sitting there and we're thinking, you know, I mean, this is some bad stuff. What's going on? And we come to realize at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning where a car had caught on fire. And we sat on the highway for probably, I don't know, a good 30 minutes to an hour just sitting there waiting for them to get the fire out and all that. And finally, we were able to go on down our path and move on. But sometimes we don't understand these journeys that we make in our life. We get roadblocks. We get, you know, we get distractions. We get these things. And we may not understand all that's going on, but it is in those things that will get us stronger on the journey. Sometimes we have to go through these things on the journey to get stronger. You just have to put your faith in God. Let him lead you and trust the process. We don't have to understand everything right now. And all we know is if we'd have gone this way, there might have been a danger that we couldn't see. And God was protecting us. Yes, it was a harder journey. It was a little more difficult journey. But yet he had to bring us this way to protect us, to keep us from going there. You see, Lot, y'all remember Lot? Lot was Abraham's nephew. And Abraham gave him the choice. He said, hey, you get to choose which land you want. And Lot says, well, this is the pretty land. I want that one. This is great. Abraham's like, fine, that's fine. I'll take this land. Abraham does what God tells him. God tells him, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of all these nations. You're going to have so many kids. It's going to be unbelievable. And I don't know, maybe he was thinking, Lord, does it have to happen that way? Do I have to have that many kids? You know, I don't know. But he says, you're going to go this way, and it's going to be great and grand. And Lot went this way, started out just outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the next thing you know, he's like eventually right smack dab in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he went this way because he thought the land was just pretty. He thought it was all great and grand. See, a lot of times we don't understand the process that God's taking us on, but God has a process. God has a plan for everything. We don't have to understand it. We just got to let go. Don't hang on to the baggage from the past. Don't keep hold of that stuff. When God is laying out the plans for our future and he's telling us how bright it is going to be, we like to look back and give him the baggage why the future won't get any better. Oh, God, those were the glory days. Coach just put me in state. Man, I could have made all this money. I could have been a millionaire. We say, God, I'm not good enough. Man, that's as good as it's going to get. God, I'm not smart enough. I'm never going to be smarter than I am right now. God, I don't have the right skills. God, I never finished college. God, I never amounted to anything. God, I did some time in prison. God, I've been divorced. God, I don't have enough money. You know what God says? You know what God says when we give all these excuses, all these reasons of why the future's not going to be better? God looks at us. He says, forget about what's happening. Don't keep going over old history. That's what he tells us. That's what the scripture says. And then he lets us know something. He tells you this. He says, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I have the right skills. I'm the creator of everything. I'm the one that set you free. I'm the one that has forgiven you. I've got enough money. I own it all. Amen. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when the time is right, I will give it to you, and you will do something far greater than you ever imagined. And get ready, because I'm about to do something brand new. That's what he's telling you, amen? And that's something that we can get excited about, because it doesn't matter what we think of ourselves, because he thinks far greater of us than we think of ourselves, amen? Because he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants the best for you. And the best is still to come. Even though you may not understand it, you may not see it right now, I want you to understand the best is yet to come. Amen? You may be struggling right now and saying, I don't get it. I don't understand the process that I'm going through. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it won't happen. Just because you don't understand it, it doesn't mean that it won't happen. Get your head up. Get your head up. Let go of the past. There's a new future ahead of you. The best is yet to come. Greater things are still to come. Amen? Cliff Terrace, the best is yet to come. And it's time to lay some baggage down. Amen? Don't carry that baggage of the past into the future with you. Lay it down. Leave it back there. It don't have a place with you in the future. It don't have a place with you in the future. Don't let people tell you that, oh, well, you're no good. You're this type of person, or you're this type of person. You're never going to amount to anything. Hey, look, we all make mistakes. We all do a bunch of garbage. We all do stupid stuff. Do you hear me? But I got to leave that stuff back there. Because that's where it belongs. I've got a new future. I got a new place that Jesus wants to take me to. You need to let it go. Stop looking at your past mistakes. Oh, and by the way, your past victories can get in the way as well. We talked about that, remember? It's great back here. I'm enjoying it back here. That could get in the way too. Sometimes good things happen to us and we get satisfied with that. You know, it was exciting Easter Sunday around here. We had 75 people in service. That was a good number for us. We had new faces here, but God says, I'm not done just yet. You hear what I'm saying? He's saying the best is yet to come. He's telling us that we have more work to do. There are more people that need to hear the message of hope. There are more people that need a safe place to come and worship. There are more people that need the love of Jesus. There are more people that need to hear the truth of God's word. The best is yet to come. Leave the past behind. Look ahead to the future. The best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. Turn to your neighbor and tell them. Say, hey, the best is yet to come. Now, let me ask you this. You just told them that. Do you believe it? Do you hear me? Do you believe that the best is yet to come? Because it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to believe it. It's another thing to put your steps to what you just said. Because I promise you, He has something great in store for you. You just need to open up and receive it. Open up and receive it. Can we pray? Can we stand this morning? I want us to stand this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. Everybody that's here, I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Can you just, if you can, just raise your hands. I want to just pray. I want you to receive what God is wanting to speak into you this morning. He's letting you know the best is yet to come. You got something far greater in store that's coming your way. I promise you, everybody in here, you got something greater coming your way. I'm going to pray for you right now. God, I pray for every person that's here. Whether they believe me or not, I know, Lord, the best is yet to come. I know that you have something far greater in store for each and every person that's here. Whatever their past has tried to tell them, Lord, that past is in the past. It's back there. They're going to leave it back there and don't let it come out anymore. Because the best is yet to come. They can put their faith, their hope, and their trust in you and walk in the victory that you have laid out before them, Lord. And they can go and they can say, I know the best is yet to come because my Father loves me, He cares for me, and He wants what's great and what's best for me. So every person that's here this morning, God, I pray that they would receive this morning. They would receive this, Lord. They would surrender and say, I don't want that past anymore. I don't want that past to haunt me no more, but I want to move forward into the future that you have for me. And God, help them to walk in victory into the future, God. Just as the Israelites did, even though they didn't understand why they were leaving their homeland, why they were leaving everything behind, why they had struggled, why they had gone through stuff, why they were slaves, and that God had a better future waiting for them in the promised land, that as Moses came to carry them out of that that past and into the future, God, that the best was waiting for them in the promised land, God, just as several hundreds of years later, God, here they were again, and God was saying, I'm going to pull you out of your homeland. I'm going to take you, Babylonians are going to take you into captivity. They could not see the future necessarily, but yet you promised them that there was something newer. There was a new thing that you were going to do in their life. There was something far greater. And then here we look, several hundred years later, a Savior came, and He died on a cross because you loved us enough to care for us enough that you sent your Son Jesus so that we have a future. We have a blessed hope that someday you will take us away. And we can live with you forever in paradise. And so, Father, we love you today. And we understand. We walk on that journey. We walk on that road. And we have an assurance and know that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise. And we give you glory. Can we sing this song this morning? Can we all sing while we're here with our hands raised? And let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we pray.